Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. We're going to continue our series on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and this will be part three. Contrary to what I said at the end of part two, that we're going to go to part two. That was part two, so that was my mistake. This is part three, and we're going to pick up where we left off in Acts chapter 2. So before we do that, as is my custom, I'd like to introduce my beautiful, wonderful, awesome, and amazing, wonderful wife, Miss Norca Karina.
Hello, everyone. May the Lord continue to bless you. I can tell you that the Lord is doing something new in our lives, and we want to encourage you to just be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We know that the Lord is so generous. He has a portion prepared for each one of us that is hungry for His word, for His presence, for His face, for His power. And He, once again, I have to repeat that word, He is very generous. And the Lord wants us to have everything that He paid for on the cross. And this is definitely something that you and I as Christians cannot and should not be without. So let's listen attentively and let's ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to each one of us what He wants us to listen and do based on this word.
Amen, sweetheart. Appreciate the good word as always. We're going to continue here, in, as I said, in Acts chapter 2, but I give a brief backdrop to this. Is we talked about how the presence of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit were two different things, and that the presence of the Holy Spirit is the born-again experience, and where a person receives the Holy Spirit through the born-again experience by receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But the power is the baptism of power for equipping of service and for supernatural power to maybe even be delivered in one's own life, you know, because I'm a testimony to that very fact, you know, that the power came into my life at the age of 30, and things began to change in my life. I began to get deliverance and see visions and things of that nature. And so we're going to kind of pick up where we left off there, as we said in Acts chapter 1, that when Jesus spoke on his last day before he was ascended and taken up, he said in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, he said, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And he was talking to the same disciples who had breathed on 40 days prior on the first day of his resurrection, who had already received the Holy Spirit. So he was talking about this power. And so what had happened 10 more days, because he said not many days from now, 10 days elapsed after that, after he had been taken up. And on the day of Pentecost is when this happened, which I said the day of Pentecost was 50 days after Passover, which was Jesus being the last Passover. He was the final Passover lamb. And so in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one set on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues, other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were there dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitudes came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, 'Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born?'" And I'm going to stop reading there and go back and talk about what happened. What happened is when the Holy Spirit came, it said there appeared to them as tongues as a fire that set on each one of them, and they began to speak with other tongues. Now, interestingly, this is the very first sign of the Holy Spirit's power being given to them. Why do I say that? Because tongues, to speak in other tongues, in other languages, is not natural. How in the world could you do that unless you had learned that language, went to school or took some training? Otherwise, it's not natural to be able to speak in another a language like that. So it was a supernatural gift given by God, supernatural power, to be able to speak in an unknown language, a note that was known to some other people, like Chinese or German or French or Spanish or whatever it might be. And not only to speak it, but to speak it fluently, where the people who are hearing it understand it in their language, but the person speaking it doesn't even know what he's saying. So that is the first sign of supernatural power given by God, to be able to do that. And it had a purpose, and that initial purpose was for being able to speak the word of God to them, or actually it says they were speaking to God and prophesying and glorifying God, and they heard him in their own language. So Amen. That was a sign to them of the gospel being true, right? So that's one of the purposes of it, is to demonstrate the validity of the gospel. But as I said in previous podcasts, the supernatural signs from God and power from God is not just given as signs. They're also given to help alleviate humanity from suffering, like with healing, deliverance, and things of that nature. So it isn't just a sign to say, hey, this is proof that God is real. This is proof that Jesus is real, the Son of God. And now that's all important, but it's also there for other benefits and other needs, because many people are suffering and they need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to help alleviate that. So this is why we want to emphasize this. It's not simply because we want to promote signs and wonders, like, wow, look how great, you know, this is, because this is a sign and a wonder. It's also for the purpose of helping alleviate people from suffering, because the Bible says that for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's in 1 John 3:8. And we also know from what Jesus has taught. He said in John 10:10, he says, a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give life and life more abundantly. So he came to set people free, because he said that in Luke 4:18. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to open up blind eyes, and so forth and so on. Cast out devils and heal the sick and all these things which he did. That was to help alleviate human beings from the suffering that was put on them through sin and through domination of the devil, Satan being in the earth. So, you know, I feel a moment here to pause, because I really believe my wife has something she wants to share. I don't know, she's not telling me or indicating that, but I do just feel it in my spirit.
And there you go. I wanted to say and add that it's so beautiful that this is being shared, because this is, well, the whole Word of God obviously can enrich us in such great ways. To think that we could actually be born into this planet and leave this planet not knowing the truth, it's a sad thing. So how wonderful that the Lord, by His grace, provides us, gives us opportunities such as this podcast, where we can actually collaborate and be vessels and share with others the truth, where Christians can hear and learn that God has a plan. God has a plan not only for you to come and be born in this world, just exist and be another number, another statistic, but to actually be a vessel of power. And I think this is itself so empowering, just the knowledge of this truth. God wants Christians not just to be as we know them, as we know ourselves, as Christians, just, you know, saved to go to heaven one day, but actually vessels of power. And this is very encouraging. And Christians need to know this, but not only have the knowledge, but actually learn about it and also desire, follow. I know you used the word, I'm thinking of it in Spanish, to actually pursue it. And this is really, really important and life-changing. I can testify myself and say that since we have been speaking about this, and of course, my heart has been open to the generosity, the abundance that God has prepared for me personally, for my family, for the ministry. I know that something has happened in my heart, in my life. There is a new sense of peace, a new sense of boldness. There is a new sense of zeal to share the gospel. I even perceive a new anointing. And so, and I've gave my heart to the Lord when I was seven years old. So imagine at this stage, at this season in my life, and the Lord is still enriching my life with, I'm going to say the word, greater power. And this is for His glory. So I want to encourage you, the listener, whoever you are, doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter if you just came to the Lord yesterday or you've known the Lord for 30 years, God has more for you. And He desires for us to actually desire what He has for us. And we can just see our life change for the better, not just for us to say my life is better, but actually be a vessel of power so that many others can see God through us and hear the word of God, which will make all the difference in their life, a matter of life and death. So thank you very much for sharing this, and praise God for vessels like you that are sensitive and obedient to share such an important truth with others.
Wow, sweetheart, that's beautiful. And yes, it is so true that we need to see the importance of this, because it isn't just a matter of us receiving the power so that we can go around, you know, doing great feats. You know, it's about helping other people.
Amen.
And we know, when we talked about this in one of the previous podcasts, you know, not in this particular series, but previously in the series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus had said, you know, that if He had not done the works, or, you know, if the works that were done in Capernaum had been done in Sodom, they would have repented. And
that's
that
amazing.
City would be remaining to this day. So do we not care about those people who lived in Sodom? Were they not human beings that had, you know, lives that God wanted to spare?
Right.
And if the power of God had been available to them, like it was to Capernaum, then they would still be around. They wouldn't have been destroyed.
It's not the desire of God for anyone to perish.
Absolutely. You know, He even says that in the scriptures, it's not His will that any should perish, but all should come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, He doesn't desire for suffering and for pain and all these things to come to people. It's not His will. His desire for people to be healthy, healed, whole, and well.
Amen.
And walk in the blessings of God. That is His
Amen.
Will. You know, but unfortunately, you know, people don't listen. They don't accept the truth of His word, and they don't live accordingly. So there's consequence to that. You know, just like you tell a child, you know, about a hot stove when he's little, don't put your hand on that. But, you know, some children just like whatever you tell them they shouldn't do, they got to do. You know, it's just that rebellion or whatever it is that's in them. Curiosity, you know, they said curiosity killed the cat, you know, and sometimes, you know, it's just that independent spirit or whatever it is that wants to say, well, I got to see for myself. Well, I'm here to tell you, and as many as you who are listening through this podcast can even testify, is you've learned from experience that, you know, the word of God is true and the word of God works. And so when the Bible tells us that you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, and then Jesus goes on to tell them that these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. That's the first sign He said in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, of the signs that would follow. Why is that so important? When actually today, many churches believe that, you know, that casting out demons isn't for today. You know, just get people saved, and somehow if they got demons in them, they'll leave. You know, and that's, you know, I made this point before, that if it was just a matter of getting saved, getting the Holy Spirit by being born again, that was going to alleviate people of all demonic influence and oppression, then there would be no need for Him to tell His disciples, these signs will follow those who believe, they will cast out demons. Because it isn't a matter of demons leaving, you will cast them out. That means you will take authority, you will command them to go, and they will have to obey you. if being saved was going to alleviate that, there would be no need for casting out demons. They would just be leaving automatically. You know? But they don't. That's the key. They don't. And sickness and disease, many times, not all the time, but many times, are caused by evil spirits. And those spirits need to be cast out. Those spirits need to be broken off of people's lives. Not to mention the spirits that are operating through people to do evil things. And we need to restrict the power of the evil that's working in them.
Amen.
You know, he has no right to be breaking in my house. He has no right to be trying to steal my car or rob me or kill my wife or do any of these things. So in the name of Jesus, we say, no, you're not going to do it, because we take authority over you. And this is another part of what the baptism of the Holy Spirit also provides. Power. Because we talked about 1 Corinthians 12, where it said that, you know, these gifts of the Spirit, one of them being the gift of working of miracles, that's actually the working of dunamis, the working of power. And we related to this in the series on the gifts of the Spirit, how one of the manifestations of that is casting out demons, taking authority over demons. And I didn't go through a lot of illustrations in the Bible of this, but there are many cases in the New Testament where we see with Jesus himself dealing with evil spirits, or even with his disciples. And like with Paul, you know, when he came to preach to the proconsul there in when he was, I can't remember where the city was, but it's in Acts chapter 13. It was in Acts chapter 13, and there was this false prophet that had came to try to dissuade him from believing what Paul was preaching. And the Holy Spirit came upon Paul, and he rebuked him, said, "You son of darkness, or you know, who pervert the ways of truth and righteousness." I know I'm not quoting it accurately, you know, exactly what he said, but he said that the hand of the Lord would be upon you, and you shall not see the sun for a time, you know. And it said a dark mist came upon him, and he was blind, and someone had to lead him by the hand. And the proconsul there, Sergius Paulus, I think his name, he heard what he saw had happened, caused him to believe the word of God. Right, because there was a manifestation of the Spirit that stopped this false prophet from doing what he was doing and caused him to believe what Paul was saying was the word of God, was the truth. So Jesus said the same thing, basically, when he said that if the works were done in Sodom that were done in you, Capernaum, they would be still remaining to this day because they would have believed. And we need these signs. We need these wonders. We need the gifts of healings. We need the gift of miracles. We need the gift of dunamis power to cast out devils. We need these things to operate. Tongues, interpretations of tongues, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the gift of faith. All these nine spiritual gifts, the gift of prophecy. Paul even said so himself. He said to despise not prophecies. He said, desire that you may prophesy, right? He said these things. And yet, many churches don't believe these are things are for today. But yet, we need them. The church needs them. The body of Christ needs them. The world needs them. And we need to be able to take them to people, because it's going to help them believe. It's going to help them receive and to overcome. Because we need every tool in the toolbox.
That's right.
Right? We're living in a world that's evil. And darkness is continually to increase in this world. We can look, turn on the news and see that's the case, right? So we need this power, and it comes through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but how did the gifts come? They come through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment that happened on the day of Pentecost. So I'm not ashamed to say I'm Pentecostal. I'm not ashamed to say I'm full gospel, or it really is one and the same thing, you know, that I believe in all the New Testament teaches, that tongues are for today, gifts of healings are for today, miracles are for today, casting out demons are for today, because I know they are needed. And I'm a recipient of some of those gifts coming into manifestation that alleviated me of having demons, of some I was ashamed of, than to even say that I had them as a Christian, because you can. I had spirits operating in my life that had me in bondage. And when I got set free from them, I was so thankful from God. But I was honestly, in some ways, afraid to admit that I had them ashamed of it because they were sexual unclean spirits and they were some things of that nature that was shameful. And so I didn't want people to know about it. And plus I knew many Christians didn't believe that Christians can have demons, but they weren't possessing me in my spirit. We talked about this before, that a person is a spirit. That's who you are. You are a spirit. You have a soul, a mind, will, and emotions, because that's what your soul is. And you live in a body. And your body is nothing but the house that you live in, which will go back to dust, into the grave, when you leave this earth. You will leave it behind, just like you leave a garment of clothing. You know, that's your clothing. That's your house. And so, as I heard Brother Hagin say many years ago, he said, inside your body, living in your body, that's your house. He said, your house, like in a natural sense, you know, your home that you live in, he said, you can have termites in the walls, they're not in you. As you walk through the bedroom, you know, the kitchen and these different rooms in your house, and you can have termites in the walls of your house, but they're not in you. Well, see, your body is the temple, just like a house. The spirits can be in the body, affecting the body, but not in your spirit. So you won't be possessed by spirits if you're born again in your spirit. That's just not going to happen because the Holy Spirit does not dwell in the same temple. But your body is a house. That temple, in that sense, those evil spirits can operate. And we know this from, and the Lord's directing me in a little different way here to use this analogy of the temple in terms of our spirit, our soul, and body. You might say that's our whole temple, and that's true. But just like the temple in Jerusalem, they had an outer court, they had an inner court, and they had the Holy of Holies. Who was allowed in the Holy of Holies? Only the high priest,
once a year.
Only the high priest once a year to make atonement, what they call Yom Kippur, once a year, the Day of Atonement. But who is allowed in the inner court? The priests to make sacrifices as they did daily, on a daily basis. Who is allowed in the outer court?
The people,
right? So didn't Jesus not take a whip and drive people out of the temple? He didn't drive them out of the Holy of Holies. He didn't drive them out of the inner court. He drove them out of the inner court, or the outer court, right? Because they were money-changing tables, and they were basically turned this, animal sacrifice thing into a commercial business of making profit, Here, you buy this animal for this amount of money, and yet they were even cheating them on that, on the amount of money that would cost them. But my point I'm getting at is your outer court, your human body, is susceptible to disease, susceptible to evil spirits, as well as your soul can be affected, because your mind can be affected, So what I'm getting at is your spirit is where the Holy Spirit dwells. That's your inner court. That's the Holy of Holies. That's the place of the Holy of Holies.
Untouchable.
If the devil can get in there, then he can possess you, right? But if the Holy Spirit is in there, he can't.
That's right.
He can't get in there, right? So you're not going to have a demon possessing you if you're a born-again Christian, but you can have one oppressing you. And that's where we talked about the difference between being oppressed versus being possessed.
That's right. That was a very good podcast. And I think it's a good time to encourage our listeners. Please make sure you go back and listen to the prior podcast, because this is just so much knowledge and revelation. And it helps when you already hear the prior podcast in order to build to the present one.
That's true, because I didn't learn all this stuff overnight, This was years of learning and growing and tweaking different parts of the truth, as well as, having learned a lot. I did learn a lot in the beginning, but at the same time, I've continued to learn over the years. So, hearing, as the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, not having heard, even though you say, well, I have heard and that has helped me, but it's an ongoing thing. So the point we're making here, faith cometh by hearing on a continual. Hearing and hearing and hearing. And the more you hear, Amen. The more your faith will increase, the more knowledge will increase, because faith as I said, one of my early podcasts, you know, in our podcast early on, sweetheart, is that faith can only begin where the will of God is known. And when it's not known or understood, then, it, you know, a person's not going to really be able to operate in faith, because you say, well, I don't understand how all this stuff works, because, you know, I thought it was just about, you know, God's sovereignty, you know, because God is in control. And you hear this all the time, that God is in control. If he wants to do something, he can do it. Well, if you really analyze that statement, you would see the fallacy of that. Because the fact is, if things are happening in the earth that's evil, little children being run over by a car or being kidnapped and raped and murdered, you're going to tell me that God doesn't want to do something about that? Well, if God wants to do something about it, he can. So obviously he chose not to because he didn't want to? No, there's other factors at play there. And those factors are his word of how he's put things in order to operate. He has a kingdom system that operates on kingdom principles. And those kingdom principles have rules. And what are some of those rules? Is being born again. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the strategies of the devil. If you don't put on the full armor of God, then how do you expect to stand against the strategies of the devil? If you don't believe in the full armor of God, if you don't believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, how can you even receive the armor of God? Because the armor of God comes through the born-again experience, comes through the knowledge of the word and the things that's provided through those means. Just like health insurance, you know, many corporations provide health insurance to their employees, you know, as a benefit of being an employee.
Correct.
And you usually get it as soon as you become the employee on the first day when you sign up. You know, you go fill out all this paperwork and put down, you know, your information and all this stuff. And then you sign up for health benefits. Okay, so how would it work for me if I decide, you know what, forget being an employee. I'm just going to walk in the company and come to their HR department and say, hey, I want health benefits. They're going to ask me, what is my employee ID? I'm going to say, I don't have one. I don't work here. They're going to look at me like, what? There's the door.
Call security.
Call security. Get this guy out of here. Because you're not getting benefits. You don't work for us. Well, if you're not born again because you've not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're entitled to the kingdom benefits. Because we mentioned this in one of the very early podcasts as we started here back in, I think, January, is that the kingdom benefits are available to those who receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You are born into the kingdom. Now you are a born-again believer, and you are a citizen of heaven.
Amen.
So you are now entitled to the benefits.
Right.
And yet that's still even partly to the degree that you're surrender to God and obey him, because, you know, what good is the health benefits going to do to the employee? He says, oh, yeah, I'm an employee, but when's the last time you showed up for work? Oh, well, I quit going to work 30 days ago. I didn't feel like going. Well, I'm still entitled to my benefits? No, they got canceled.
That's right.
Right. So
there are a lot of citizens, for example, in this country, American citizens, that unfortunately cannot enjoy the benefits of being an American citizen because they're in jail.
That's true.
They don't have access to it.
Yeah, if you commit a felony, you lose your rights.
That's
right. And there's people here that's here illegally who want to become citizens, and you know, we're not going to get into all this thing right now about all that, but the point I want to make is, until you become a legitimate citizen of the United States, that's what we're talking about here in our own country, is you're not entitled to the rights of a U.S. citizen.
That's right.
And so that's the same thing with the kingdom of God. And so what we're getting at here too also is to talk about not only being born again, but also becoming knowledgeable and becoming knowledgeable of the word. And that is important, because the more knowledge you have, the more you can access. In the same way with a citizen of the United States, if you don't know you have the right, as the police will tell you, you have the right to remain silent. Everything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Well, some people don't shut their mouth, right? But they had the right to remain silent, but they didn't.
Right.
Right? And the same with other rights. You know, there are rights to certain things. Like you were talking about the Title 20 thing for child care, you know, that will help parents to be able to give their children, you know, like care for daycare and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. They help pay for that. They didn't know they had a right to that. And you made them aware of it because you knew about it, right? Because you run a daycare center.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Right? So things of that nature. So it's the same thing. With the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you don't know that this thing exists or don't believe in it, then you can't access it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wonder why things are going haywire. Because here's the power to stop the devil. And you don't believe in the power to stop the devil. Well, I believe God will do it if he wants to. That ain't how he does it. He don't do it because he wants to, but here's how his system works and how to do it. So what I'm saying is this, is not only for our benefit, but for the benefit of others out there. You may be saying, well, brother, I believe all the things that you're saying. That's why I'm listening to your podcast. You know, I'm increasing in knowledge and understanding. But at the same time, you know, I would encourage you, or some of you anyway, to get well equipped in the knowledge of this so that you can share it with other people, because there's plenty of people out there who do not know what belongs to them, that they have a right to things that they don't even know that exists. And many don't know that baptism of the Holy Spirit is God's power, and it don't come through the born-again experience. It comes through the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And it comes through the knowledge of those things that come along with it. And so what we're going to stop here and conclude this particular podcast, part three here, and conclude this one and pick up in the next one in part four and talk about how some examples here from the book of Acts of how they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not just what we saw in Acts chapter 2, but in some of these other chapters as well. So with that being said, we'll conclude this part, and I look forward to the next part, sweetheart, and I'll turn
That's
it over
right.
to you, baby.
This is so good, and God is so good. You know, as you were mentioning about having benefits and not accessing it, an image came to mind, standing in front of an ATM, you know, and you know you have funds in the bank, and you just stand in front of the ATM, and nobody says, well, the ATM will give me the funds if it wants to give it to me. You actually have to do something to retrieve those funds, right? But we want to make this invitation, extend the invitation to those of you who don't have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. This is the first step before you actually can aspire and expect to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. You first, as Keith was saying, there is an order, the way that God has established things. And so before we can even think about having the power, you need to have as Savior the one who is the author of this power. And God is so good, God Father, God Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So Jesus Christ died on the cross so that you, if you have not accepted him as Lord, can give him your heart. What does that mean? We all have sins. And either you pay for your sins or you accept the fact that Jesus paid for them on the cross. Now, the thing is that before you pass, before you die, your sins will have to be judged. And so if Jesus does not pay for your sins, then you will have to pay for your sins. And let me tell you something. If you pay for your sins, that means that you will die forever. You will not have life. The only way to have life is with Jesus. And that is why we want to extend this invitation. This is the wisest, most important decision of your entire life. This is even more important than who will you marry? What house will I purchase? What major will I take on? What job? This is the most important decision of your life. And that is why we take the time in every podcast to make this invitation, because God so loved you that he sent his son Jesus so that you will believe in him and confess him as Savior, and he will give you eternal life. So make sure you do that today. Don't wait till tomorrow.
Amen, sweetheart. That was so beautifully stated. And yes, this is the most important decision you'll ever make. And I will say this, you will not regret it.
That's right.
Amen. So God bless you. And thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk to you next time.
Talk to you then.
Bye-bye.
Bye.